Welcome to Deft Decisions in Chaotic Conditions, How Experts Create Order from Turmoil, the thought-provoking series on how to set, align, and implement priorities. Here's the host of our show, management consultant, speaker, educator, and president of Business Alignment Strategies, Pat Lynch.
Welcome. I am Pat Lynch. I have as my guest today Dr. Marianne Takemoto. Dr. Takemoto is a licensed clinical psychologist. She currently is the Associate Vice President of Student Services at California State University, Long Beach. Before she arrived at Long Beach in 2005, as she was at Long Beach, Dr. Takemoto was Director of the Counseling and Psychological Services on campus. Prior to that time, she was at the University of California, Irvine for about 17 years. She was the Counseling Center Associate Director, and she also was on the faculty in the Asian American Studies Department. Welcome, Marianne.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Now, the purpose of these interviews that we've been having is to get some insight into how to set priorities, how to align them, and how to implement them. However, today we're taking a little bit different perspective. We're going to address the psychology of setting and implementing priorities, if you will. We're going to take advantage of Marianne's psychological background and really delve into some of the things that go on behind the scenes. So, Marianne, let's start out with this. What kinds of obstacles prevent people from setting priorities?
Okay, there's a few different things that I'd like to talk about. First of all, I think that there can be some fear that people have that prevent them from setting priorities. Sometimes these fears can be of failure, that if I set these priorities, I may not be able to achieve them. There may also be fear of ridicule that, you know, these priorities that I've set, they don't really make sense. There can also be a sense of accountability that if I don't accomplish these, how will it look to my superiors? So that can be one angle, I think, in terms of difficulty in setting priorities. The other thing that I think is really quite common is that many people are just too overwhelmed to step back and take the time that's necessary to reflect and set priorities. So basically, they're spending so much time just putting out the fires of their current position that they are not able to get a perspective to set priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a few different reasons, I think more on the individual level. And in terms of the organizational level, I think sometimes the organizations themselves may not encourage individuals to take to set priorities. So sometimes that can happen as well.
And when that happens, that the organization doesn't encourage people, that's not really a conscious decision, or it's not meant to be harmful. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I think sometimes people think that, we're doing fine as is or business as usual, and maybe there just is not a need to take that time, where sometimes people even feel like taking time to do those things can get in the way of other business that needs to be done. So you're right. It may not be a conscious decision or something that's necessarily negative from their point of view.
Or possibly people might imagine that a manager wouldn't encourage it without even asking.
Right, right. That is quite true. I think that can happen as well.
Okay. Well, how might people overcome or minimize some of those obstacles that you just named?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think there is a need to understand what the obstacle is before you can address how to deal with it. So I think it does require some self-reflection to get a sense of what is getting in the way of setting those priorities. On an organizational level, I think an organization really needs to institutionalize the practice of setting priorities, where it becomes part of the culture, people expect it. It might be done the same time every year, that there's a special meeting set aside. So that would be one way in which the organization can encourage setting priorities.
Mm-hmm.
On an individual level, I think one needs to really outline specific steps to accomplish those priorities, and also a way to assess if those priorities have been met and successfully met or not. So I guess in terms of not only just setting the priorities, but really breaking them down in a way that that people can accomplish them, it's also an important part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that, as you said, maybe part of that feeling of being overwhelmed comes because people don't really break down whatever the tasks are into smaller tasks.
I think that is true. I think many times people do set goals for themselves personally and professionally, but those goals may seem very overwhelming. They may seem like very large goals. But, you know, even very large goals can be broken down into specific steps, and a timeline can be set up to achieve those goals. And I think that makes it much more manageable.
Right. Now, on a slightly different topic, what suggestions do you have for people who face competing priorities? And by that I mean, probably the one that's most common is the, you know, work and family. If there's, say, a conflict between something going on at work and a conflict going on somewhere in the family, how can people deal with that type of competition?
Right. I think this topic is really important, and, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about this issue of work-life balance, that people, you know, really struggle with the competing demands from both areas of their lives. And one thing that I talk to clients about is really the need to be realistic, to set realistic goals for oneself, that we can't be expected to do everything and to do everything perfectly. I think it's important to get support from other people in your life, in your family life, in your work life, to talk about what some of those demands are as well, to get some assistance from people in case, you know, you can't meet all those demands. I also encourage people to look at their own time management. Can they be more organized or efficient, you know, to make some time? But that's not always the case, but I think that is important to bring up. But I also think it's important for people to look at their own level of functioning in terms of how they're dealing with stress. And sometimes people are pulled in so many different directions that they feel very stressed. One thing that we've been seeing more and more, especially among women, is that stress does seem to affect many aspects of their lives, including health effects, health problems. Sometimes we see weight gain, significant weight gain, maybe 50 to 60 pounds. And also substance abuse can also be a significant indicator that someone is not really dealing with those stressors well. And in some cases, there may need to be professional help, that people should seek out professional help if they're feeling so pulled and so stressed that they're not coping well with the different things going on in their lives.
Now, what would you suggest for people, let's say you have people, whether they're students or not in school right now, who are feeling some of these things, they are feeling stressed, and maybe it is affecting their health.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps they realize that they should get professional health help. They don't really know how to do that or where to start. Can you give them maybe a starting point, things they could think about?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of how to seek professional help, do you mean? Okay. Well, at the, you know, certainly for students, we do have counseling and psychological services that provides individual and group counseling for students at no charge. That is, it's paid by their student registration fees. And so they could contact their counseling center or counseling and psychological services on their campus. But for faculty and staff on our campus here at Long Beach, we do have a faculty and staff assistance program. So there's a licensed mental health professional who is available to provide support, to provide referrals and counseling to faculty and staff. Now, not all universities have a faculty and staff assistance program. Sometimes they call it an EAP program, an employee assistance program, but it's definitely worthwhile to check out whether or not those resources are available on your campus or in your organization. Certainly many private organizations offer those types of services as well.
Right.
And it is strictly confidential. I know sometimes people have concerns that it could affect their work status or whatnot, but it is strictly confidential. And also there's no charge for that service as well.
Okay. And I do know that there are organizations that do provide the employee assistance programs, the EAPs, and it seems that they've come a long way in the sense of really gaining people's trust that,
right,
you know, there it will be confidential and will not affect their work.
Right, absolutely. I think those are very important points for people to understand when they are seeking out services.
Now, what about people who maybe have been laid off from work and they're not employed right now? What might you suggest in any community? Are there common places where they might begin to look?
Right. Yeah, there certainly are a number of both community agencies and also private agencies that may offer a sliding scale. There are community mental health centers. But even our employee assistance or faculty and staff assistance program is happy to provide referrals to those places, even if somebody's not still working. So we do have phone numbers, and also our counseling center on campus also provides community referrals to local mental health professionals in the area.
Okay. Now, one of the things, let me go back to something you said just a minute ago, if I may. You were talking about establishing work-life balance.
Uh-huh.
And suggested that people need to be realistic.
Right.
And set realistic goals for themselves.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What happens when, say, an individual or individuals are willing to set realistic goals for themselves, however, their managers also set goals for them, and they're feeling that perhaps those are not realistic, and what do I do now?
Right. You know, I think it is important to communicate with your manager if you feel like the goals that are being set are unrealistic. And I think, you know, with some discussion and being able to you know, to talk about it, you may be able to come up with a compromise that maybe the goals could be modified in some way, or maybe there's something that the manager is not aware of in terms of other duties that you're, you know, participating in or other things going on. So I think it's always important to try to discuss those things earlier rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, too, because I think especially for people who are, say, conflict avoiders, you know, we keep thinking, you know what, it'll get better.
Right, right.
If I just put my head in the sand and keep it there.
Unfortunately, there are many people who do have that problem, and it does not usually get better. So we always tell people, you know, especially if you're going to be seeking professional assistance, usually the sooner you seek it out, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what suggestions might you have for people who are faced with really difficult decisions like the ones that we see in many organizations as setting priorities when you have far fewer resources than you used to have?
Right. I think that's something that certainly many of us are currently dealing with in the current state budget climate. Excuse me. You know, I guess one of the suggestions I have is that it's important to return to the core mission of the organization and really to take a look at what are the critical tasks that this organization should be performing. And, you know, just for instance, within our own organization and a student services organization, we have certain services that we provide that are mandated by state and federal law that we must provide, you know, services for disabled student services, for example. So we need to kind of consider, are there certain mandated services we must provide? Maybe health and safety issues, are those kind of priority? And so I think when you return to the core mission of the organization, I think that helps to provide some guidance as to how you might prioritize some of the tasks and activities that, you know, that must be fulfilled. At the same time, I think it's also important to get input and to get buy-in from our key stakeholders who might be our managers, that they should be part of the discussion and, you know, have a chance for them to share their feelings and ideas. I think it's also important for managers to realize and accept that some of the decisions that need to be made will not be very popular and that people may not like those decisions. And so it's important not to take them personally, to not personalize when people are unhappy, when you have to say, no, you can't travel, or no, you can't, you know, alter your schedule because of the furloughs, those kinds of things.
I think what you said is really important when you said it's important to share feelings as well as ideas.
Right.
It just seems that if we are not allowed to do that, then we're just adding to that stress that's building up and that sense of feeling overwhelmed.
Right. I do think it's important for people to have a chance to express their feelings and thoughts about things going on. I think, you know, sometimes there's a fear that that could become a very negative kind of, you know, experience, and that negativity builds upon each other. So I guess my feeling is that, you know, perhaps it should be limited in some way, but it should not be cut off. And that if people feel like, well, hey, I haven't been heard, then, you know, maybe another forum could be provided for that individual. But in terms of the group thing, that it shouldn't be something that just goes on and on. But that still, people are allowed to express themselves. I think that is important.
I think, you know, my experience is that in our U.S. business culture, expressing feelings and supporting those who are expressing feelings or emotions is really something we're not very comfortable with.
Right.
And I think that at a time like this, when people really need to let others know how they're feeling, even if they can't do much of anything about it, that maybe that gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah, I think that is true. And, you know, again, I would say that, you know, think about, you do have some resources on, you know, on your campus, and I know our faculty and staff assistance program, our social worker, you know, sometimes she's asked to, you know, come into some group meetings. Sometimes our counseling center is often called, you know, to have a psychologist present if a manager felt like, you know, he or she just would be very uncomfortable, you know, dealing with those emotions, or that there was something that, you know, he or she felt that he couldn't handle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to think about resources or get some consultation on how to approach it, I think that would be a good idea as well.
Okay. Let's turn for a moment from setting priorities to implementing.
Okay.
So let's say we have set priorities. We don't always implement, though, them.
Right.
So I'm wondering if, from a psychologist's point of view, you have any explanations or can offer any insight into what, you know, what obstacles prevent people from implementing those priorities.
You know, I think it is very easy for us to kind of return to our old ways of doing things and our old habits, especially when we start to feel overwhelmed or when we feel stressed. So I think that's one thing that's important just to keep in mind. But probably one of the problems is that there's often no follow-up on the priorities, that there's no kind of checks and balances, that maybe there should be a 3-month or 2-month or whatever it is, kind of follow-up to check in on, you know, where are we with our priorities? Are we, you know, we making progress? Do we need to, you know, go on an alternate course? So I think it does require some flexibility, but at the same time there should be some follow-up. So there should be some system in place for that check-in, and also to provide support for people and encouragement for people who may be having some difficulty or struggling to do something differently, that's really important as well.
Okay.
And then I think also, like I mentioned before, it's also important to really have specific steps, or to break down these priorities to achievable tasks, and to set a timeline that, you know, when you do have these big goals or priorities set, sometimes it can seem very daunting. But if you do break it down into, you know, smaller steps and have a timeline, and then a system that does check in or you know, see how you're doing with it, then I think you're much more likely to be successful.
Okay. And And so you've actually answered my next question, which was, you know, how can we overcome or minimize them? And
right, right.
So, great. Now, what about situations in which leaders are people who believe that, you know, everything is a priority? When that happens, it's, oh, we have to do this, we have to do this, and we have to do this.
Uh-huh.
Are there any negative repercussions in those types of environments?
Well, I guess my first reaction would be, you know, generally it really is not helpful when people have that attitude that everything is a priority. And I do think it's kind of a setup for failure, because what happens is sometimes people just feel like they're running around and they're not doing anything well, that they're just trying to, again, put out the fires or do as much as they can on different things. So I think it really does go back to the leadership of an organization, that it is key to set priorities and goals and to help employees kind of figure out what are the priorities, what needs to be done, and kind of what the timeline is. So that's kind of my thought on that attitude.
Okay. Are there I was thinking, I guess, also in terms of what might happen in that sense. And the reason I ask it is, if we can point out some behaviors
uh-huh.
that perhaps managers just aren't connecting
uh-huh.
with their kind of everything is a priority point of view, and we can say, well, if you look at, you know, this, this, and this, they're all tied back to the fact that we are so overwhelmed because we've got 10 things to do, and we can only do 5 of them.
Right, right. Well, just in my own experience, one of the things that I've observed is when managers themselves are more organized and are planful in the way that they do things, then they're not coming to their employees at the last minute saying, oh, I forgot I need this, or you know, we need to have this done by tomorrow. Or so I think it's really important for managers also to approach, you know, big – I mean, of course, there will be examples of, you know, sometimes things do need to change, but sometimes people are sort of chronically, you know, making last-minute changes or decisions, and those can be very detrimental to people who are trying to, you know – take care of a task to accomplish something. So I think it's very important for managers to be aware themselves of their style and how they work with people and how they assign tasks to different people. But I think it's also important for them to get feedback from their employees in terms of, you know, how the employees are feeling about the leadership and how things are going. And I think to have that feedback mechanism is very important as well, because sometimes, like you said, managers may not be very aware of the things that they're doing. They think they may be very organized and, you know, because maybe at the very end things do get done. But yet, on the other hand, sometimes the process by which it gets done can be very distressing for people. So I guess I just think that, you know, having a chance to have feedback from employees about process as well as, you know, did we accomplish our goals is very important.
I think that is important, the fact that, you know, the process as well as outcome, because as you say, we can come up with what we need, but if there's nobody left standing
right, right.
at the end of the day, you know, that's really a red flag.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so what suggestions might you have for creating a healthy psychological environment, especially in times like this where, you know, things are really tough and really difficult decisions have to be made? What can managers do, or what can individuals
right,
do?
Right, okay. You know, I do think it's very important for managers to acknowledge the fact that it is a very difficult time for everybody. And it's also important to communicate and share information, that when budget news comes out, or, you know, possibility of furloughs or, you know, cuts for next year, I think those are things that should be shared with the staff so that they have an idea about what's going on and what to expect. You know, for us, this year has been really difficult with furloughs and, basically we're kind of dealing with employees being available 10% less time per month. And so I think we have to take a look at that as managers, and decide, do we need to suspend some non-essential activities? Where are we going to be cutting back, or what is the impact of this decreased amount of time that we have available with the furloughs? At the same time, I think it's also important to recognize staff for their achievements. Even though we're dealing with difficult times, we're not really able to do too many new initiatives or travel or do some of the things that we typically like to do. But at the same time, I think our staff are continuing to do really good, positive things, and I think it's important not to overlook those things. So having time for recognition and, to celebrate those achievements is very important. Also, I think just setting realistic goals with employees is very important. So with less time, how much really can be accomplished? And I think for managers to be able to work with employees to talk about those things is key to success.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So those are a few things I think as managers. I think as individuals, I think we need to pay attention to our own stress levels. And I think it's important for us to know, what are our own warning signals. I think people have different warning signals, to know when they're kind of feeling under stress. And so it's important for people to have some self-knowledge, self-reflection. I think this is a time when it's also important to look out for our fellow staff members. That sometimes, getting some feedback from somebody that knows you well, that cares about you, and, I think that's important as well. I think there needs to be a feeling that we're all in this together, to try to create a sense of community, that this is not about, oh, one person's doing better than the other, or this person's going to be kept and this person's not. I think we need to just create more a sense of we're all going to work through this as best we can, and that will help to, I think, alleviate some of the anxiety that's out there already.
Right, right. Those are great suggestions.
Oh, thank you.
So is there anything else you'd like to add before we end here, Marianne?
I can't think of anything, Pat. I think those are some really good questions. I think, these are ongoing issues that we're all dealing with, and, there's not going to be one simple solution and one simple approach to this. I think we have to approach it from multiple angles. I think the way that people deal with these stresses is very different. So it's not going to be a cookie cutter, one size fits all. But at the same time, I think we have to continue to just be sensitive to what is going on with our employees in terms of the financial stresses that they're under, and people are concerned about their mortgages and their kids' college tuition and things like that. So I think being sensitive and talking to people about what's going on without prying, of course, but just being open to hearing people's concerns, I think, is very important.
Okay. Well, thank you, Marianne, very much for sharing your expertise with us.
Absolutely, Pat. It's my pleasure.
So we have been talking again with Dr. Marianne Takemoto. She is the Associate Vice President for Student Services at California State University. To all of you listening, thank you for being with us today. I'm Pat Lynch. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Deft Decisions in Chaotic Conditions, How Experts Create Order from Turmoil, brought to you by Business Alignment Strategies. If you would like to learn how you can ensure that your organization's people, programs, and processes are aligned with its goals, contact us at www.businessalignmentstrategies.com.